This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I don't know what that is, other than it's not Muslim. It's not Christian. It is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as most Christians know it.
I have no evidence that would guide me as to what Glenn Beck would have any genuine knowledge as to what the president does or does not believe.
We're going to burn the Quran.
We do believe the book is evil, it's bad. It's against the Bible, it's against God.
It puts our soldiers at jeopardy, very likely. We've already seen a demonstration here in Kabul, just at the rumor that this event could take place.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
The very first words out of Jesus' mouth, according to the gospel writers, when he begins his public ministry, or repent, the kingdom of God is near. And what does he mean? What is the kingdom of God, and what does he mean that it is near? Does he mean it's here, or that it's coming? Are we still waiting for it? We hear a lot from church people about building the kingdom of God, as though it is our responsibility and largely our task and our burden to extend the kingdom of God. But the Holy Scriptures paint a very different picture of how God's kingdom comes. And of course, Jesus teaches his church to pray those very words, "Thy kingdom come." It's our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday, September the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour, we'll talk about "Thy kingdom come," and we invite your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your questions or comments for our Pastor's Roundtable on Thy Kingdom Come, facebook.com/IssuesETC. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Ken Sherb will join us, continuing our series on the Apostles' Creed, Part 4, of five parts today. A long way to go. We have Jesus' descent into hell, his resurrection, his ascension, and his return for judgment. That'll round off the second part of the creed this afternoon. Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri, will be our guest. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC or visit the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Our Pastor's Roundtable, live this Thursday. Pastor David Ramirez is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. He joins us here in the studio. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And on the phone from Middleville, Michigan, Pastor Jim Remke, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there in Middleville. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Jim, first to you, Jesus begins his public ministry talking about the kingdom. What is he talking about?
Well, I think that as I was preparing for the show today, I read up on Luther's Large Catechism, and I think Luther says it perfectly. He says in this prayer in the Large Catechism, "Dear Father, we pray, give us first your word so that the gospel may be preached properly throughout the world. Second, may the gospel be received in faith and work and live in us so that through the word and the Holy Spirit's power, your kingdom may triumph among us." I think that says it beautifully. Jesus is talking about himself. He is the Word made flesh, and he comes not as a conquering king to lord it over us, but he comes to dwell in us and to make us his kingdom through his word and his gifts.
Pastor Ramirez, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Why is repentance so? Why is it that which he is calling for as the kingdom comes in the person of Jesus Christ?
Well, I think it's because, well, not only does Jesus say repent, but of course the other person who talks about the kingdom is John the Baptist. And when he says repent, he's saying turn back to God, because the people of Israel had turned away from God. and they needed to repent and understand that the Word of God needed to rule in their hearts and their minds. And the very Word, as Pastor Remke said, Jesus Christ, God-man, it was there.
Is it that the kingdom of God hadn't been present before Jesus' arrival? Or is there something else at work here?
No, it's certainly the kingdom of God was present in the sense that the seed, the Messiah, had been promised by God to Adam and Eve in the garden, and that promise had been passed down from generation to generation. And so wherever God's word rules, God's kingdom is there. However, in Jesus Christ, we see this most clearly, most definitely, because who in the history of mankind has actually obeyed the Father and his word? That's Jesus Christ. He obeys his Father even unto death and is crucified.
So Jesus embodies the kingdom of God, literally embodies the kingdom of God. Are we simply saying, Pastor Remke, that when Jesus arrives, he is the king, he is the rightful heir to the kingdom of God, and so he's essentially saying, I'm here now, and I'm the king?
I think it's important, too, to make a distinction between what's kind of we see as God's kingdom of power, that is, in his creation, God has always been king. So the kingdom of God is always amongst us in the fact that God has created the heavens and the earth, and he sustains them. But Jesus comes in the kingdom of grace and will return again in the kingdom of glory. And this, I think, is the key difference. And what we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer is that we would receive Christ's kingdom, God's kingdom, given through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ is the one who brings the grace into God's kingdom. Through his work, through his merit, we have been given more than just a distant creator king, as what many people would look to God as, but we see God in his true and most perfect function in giving us his grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. So in that regards, Jesus Christ is the King of grace, but also the throne of grace. He is the sacrifice that gives us this grace. He's all of it wrapped up into one, and he is God giving himself to us in this kingdom of grace.
Just to piggyback on what Pastor Remke said, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not just, we don't think that we're praying and it's going to make it so. As you guys talked about this last week with Hallowed Be Thy Name, God's name is holy, whether we pray that or not. In the same way, God's kingdom comes and has come in Jesus Christ, whether we pray for it or not, but rather we need to remember that this is an entreaty, an asking, let this be true for me, myself, that this king, that the Word of God rules in me.
Let's make a distinction that Pastor Remke introduced just a moment ago, and maybe we could fine-tune it a little bit. He talked about God's kingdom of power, that is, God kind of ruling in all of creation. He does this in many and various ways. But in particular, let's distinguish, if we could, Pastor Ramirez, between God ruling men, not just creation in general, how God rules men and how in civil government, it's much the subject of people's thinking today in America, and how God rules his church, what Luther would have called the left and the right-hand kingdoms. How would you make that distinction?
Well, I'd make that distinction in the sense that certainly God rules over all of creation, and he rules, as you say, over all mankind. And as Paul says, he sets up good government, and they keep people in check from chaotic evil by use of the sword. And this is good. And we, of course, confess that God is all-present. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He's everywhere. However, where is God for you and for the forgiveness of sins? For salvation? Well, he's there in the church. Certainly he sets up good rulers to make sure that, like I said before, chaotic evil doesn't overtake the world, but in his church, and only there, not in civil government, not through society, not through even the best rulers in the world, but in his church he pours out forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Pastor Remke, with about a minute and a half, it strikes me we're witnessing some confusion of those two things, especially in our public rhetoric. We're nearing midterm elections. And a lot of very well-meaning people, including many evangelical Christians, are talking about America as though it's coterminous with the kingdom of God. It's kind of God's best expression of how he wants to rule among men. What's the danger of confusing God's kingdom, wherein he sets up good government and rules by force and reason, and God's kingdom, wherein he rules solely by the forgiveness of sins through his word?
Well, I think that the biggest danger is when you kind of look at our country, which God has indeed blessed, but you look at our country as God's kingdom. And, you know, I hear it all the time. We all need to put aside our differences and pray to God and bring God back into our country, and then everything will be okay. That's setting us up as the master of God, as if God's kingdom hasn't already come. We just need to pray hard enough, and if we get back down on our knees and pray, or gather around our flagpoles and pray, or put aside our differences and all meet together and hold hands and pray to God that he would bless our nation, then the kingdom of God will come. And you see what foolishness this is. It's making us the master of God, as if he's some kind of trained monkey on a string, that if we give him enough treats by our prayers, then he'll do what we ask him to. In reality, the opposite is different. God rules over us. He has given us his grace. He has given us the assurance of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through Jesus Christ, given in the church, in the word, and sacraments. And in our praying should lead us to God, who has established his reign right here on earth, right here in tiny little Middleville that nobody probably even knows about, in St. Louis, all across this world, in other countries. Wherever his word and sacraments are given, there his kingdom of grace is found.
Pastor Jim Ramke and Pastor David Ramirez, our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday, September the 9th. And I'll do anything I want.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
I got the keys to the kingdom. The world can't do me no harm. I got the keys to the kingdom. The world can't.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Jesus instructing us through the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, as our prayer. It's Thursday afternoon, September the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., our pastor's Roundtable. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Facebook fan page is a great place to leave a question or a comment. We'll get to some of those in just a minute. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Pastor Ramirez, let's talk a little bit more about where we were when we went to the break, and that is the confusion and the danger of confusing God's two ways of ruling in this world, the church and the state.
Sure. There's a couple real easy errors that people fall into when they start conflating God's rule through the state and God's rule of mercy through the church. Sometimes they conflate the church and the world, and this many times turns into a theocracy. I mean, think of the papacy. The Pope claimed in the Middle Ages that he wielded both the swords, that he had a divine right to rule over kings of men and also in the church. Or sometimes you get the error of the social gospel, that the kingdom of God is about digging wells and feeding poor people. And, of course, digging wells and feeding poor people are very good things, and we should be ashamed if Christians do not engage in works of mercy. But what really blows these errors out of the water is what Jesus says himself. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that means the church is not going to look like an empire. It isn't going to act like a human country, fighting wars and crushing its enemies by strength of arms. How is the devil defeated? Well, we know it's not by the work of men, but rather by the word of God alone.
Okay, what dangers lurk there for the church, Pastor Remke, for the church in particular, if they do not realize how it is God rules by forgiveness of sins, by his word alone? What are the dangers there?
Well, the danger is losing Christ. And if we lose Christ and what he's done for us, how can we call ourselves a Christian church? The danger comes when we're looking to, as Pastor Ramirez says, it's good to do some of these things. It's good to dig wells. It's good to feed poor people. It's good to reach out to our community. But when we look to the fruits of the kingdom of God and make that our idol, then we lose the kingdom of God altogether. When we take our eyes off of what Christ has done, Christ who reigns as in this almost invisible way through his word and sacraments, who cares about that? But if we take our eyes off of Christ reigning in this humble way, we won't get the kingdom, we won't have the fruits, we won't be a church, and we'll be on our way to hell.
Okay, let's talk about how another confusion that often reigns in the church with regarding the kingdom of God. I mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation. And that is, Pastor Ramirez, we hear pastors, we hear church leaders talk about building the kingdom, extending the kingdom, and it's a lot about how much money you give at church, whether you support the church in this way or that way, or whether or not you are kind of a team player with regard to what the denomination is doing. What's the danger of the church thinking? And it sounds so much like we're saying, we're the ones who actually build this kingdom. Jesus is gone. He's left us with the task of extending his kingdom.
Certainly. There's actually a term for this. It's called kingdom theology, and it's gained in popularity over about the last 50 years. And basically, it's very synergistic or very works righteousness. It treats God as kind of a wind-up toy. You push the right buttons, you wind up the crank, and God will pop out. Basically, under kingdom theology, the church is supposed to take over as much as possible of society and influence it and have it reach a level of perfection or at least as close to perfection as possible, and then, poof, Christ returns. But again, you see who's in the driver's seat. It is the Christians who are building the kingdom, whereas Luther teaches so clearly that no, it's not we who make the kingdom come, but rather we are saying, no, God makes the kingdom come, whether we pray for it or not.
Our call in number 1-877-623-6943 in Pittsburgh. David is on the line. David, welcome.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just had a quick comment, and if you guys thought this was on the right track or not. You're talking about the two kingdoms, and it seems like you know, God has ordained the state. And I think Luther talks about this. They rule with the sword, meaning that they stop sin by reward and punishment. So if somebody, you know, people don't murder because they're afraid of the government, that they will punish them. And the church, however, seems like they're not supposed to try to motivate Christians to change through reward punishment. But I just wonder if you pastors see it's a danger for the church, because sometimes the church wants to try to motivate Christians in whatever way to say, you better not sin because, and they'll throw the law in.
Interesting question. David, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Pittsburgh. Pastor Remke, your response.
Well, I must admit that this is a temptation for me. I want to tell my people, you'd better come to this service, you'd better come to Bible study, you'd better whatever, any number of things. And then I have to hold back, look to Christ. It's not about what we do. And frankly, what greater motivation could we have? It's not a law motivation, but the motivation of the gospel, the word, the sacraments. If you teach your people what those things are, God's kingdom will come, because they will yearn for it. They will want what God's kingdom truly is, that kingdom of grace that's given through Christ's work and merit alone.
Just to also add something, I think, too, we should make the distinction between compelling and preaching the law, because certainly the church, when it's acting truthfully as the church, does not compel people. You don't go out and say, you must be in service at 10:30 or else we are going to beat you. We don't say that as the church. However, we do preach the law. And as Pastor Remke said, of course, the law does not produce faith. However, in the church, we need to make this distinction between compelling and preaching the law. In the church, we do say no. We do draw lines, and we do excommunicate. But we do not compel people, because the church's mission is one of mercy. I mean, think about the state. What if you ran a state on the basis of mercy? It'd be ridiculous. You'd have people killing each other. If you always just let people slide, it would be utter chaos, and evil would go unchecked. But when it comes to the church, no, mercy is what runs the church, Christ's mercy, of course. But of course, we do still preach the law. We still excommunicate. We still use the keys.
If a church is growing, Pastor Remke, is the kingdom of God necessarily coming?
If it's growing around the word and sacraments. I am a pastor at a very small church, and all the time I get this kind of unspoken pity look when I tell people how many, they ask, of course, how many people are at your church. And when I tell them the number, which is under 100, they look at me almost like, what are you doing wrong? But Jesus wants to reign secretly and invisibly in our hearts, and he only does this by the word alone. It's a hidden kingdom sometimes. We can't see it. Or as Luther says, it's like seeing the light from the sun, but having the sun covered up by the clouds. We can't see them both all the time. God's word and his sacraments are here in Middleville. They are here. They are every place. They are preached rightly and administered correctly. There, God's kingdom is come. And it doesn't matter if it's one person, if it's 1,000 people, if it's 1,000,000 people, if his word and his sacraments are there, the kingdom is there. And what great comfort that is that I don't have to worry, am I doing it right? Am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right programs? I trust in God's word, and this is faith. Faith is the assurance of things not seen. So sometimes we don't see what we would call a successful kingdom of God, but we know it's there because God has promised to establish his kingdom where his word and his sacraments are at.
With about a minute here, Pastor Ramirez, there's an unspoken, sometimes it's actually blatantly spoken this way, assumption that if a church or a denomination is growing, it must be due to God extending his kingdom, and it must also mean, furthermore, that whatever that church or denomination is doing is God-pleasing. Correct? You come from, I think, your background is in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're twice as big as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They might say, hey, look, we're obviously where God is doing his thing, where the kingdom of God is coming. How would you respond with about a minute?
Well, sure. You can't just look at the worldly glory of a church to determine whether the Word of God is ruling in it. And take, for example, if you're sitting down at a church council meeting and someone says, hey, how do we get more people in the door? If you really want to get numbers, well, I probably shouldn't say these kind of things on the air, but you could get some really racy things in church that would have people pounding through the doors. You know, you could do dance routines with scantily clad women. And there you have it. I guarantee you most of the male population in town would be there in 10 seconds flat. But but methods do matter. And how you do something actually reflects what you believe. And if you're following the Word of God, it will not come back empty. Perhaps you'll have 100 members. Perhaps you'll have 10,000. But success is the Lord's. And, of course, it can only be measured by His Word.
When we come back, another half hour with our pastor's roundtable on Thy Kingdom Come, we are giving away a copy of the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to the best question or comment, 1-877-623-MYIE. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page, or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's the very least they can do. Notify you before performing a surgical abortion on your minor daughter. Alaska voters recently made this law. Not permission, mind you, just notification. Who would oppose such a mainstream common sense law? Planned Parenthood. They spent the better part of $1 million unsuccessfully opposing it. What's their incentive? Pure and simple, it's money. Planned Parenthood operates the largest chain of abortion mills in the nation. Do the math. If the average charge for an abortion is $350, times well over 1 million abortions each year, we're talking about some serious money. Abortion's a cash cow for Planned Parenthood, so expect them to invest big bucks to protect it at every turn.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Thy Kingdom Come is the subject for our pastor's roundtable, dealing with the Lord's Prayer. Pastor David Ramirez, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois, and Pastor Jim Remke, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. Let's go to the phones and talk with Chris, who's listening in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, it's the Glenn Beck rally. Was that doing precisely what you were complaining about, Pastor Ramirez? You know, because they're violating the limits of the left-hand kingdom, and they're trying to make us all in one world church.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks for listening in Michigan. Pastor Remke, I'll let Pastor Ramirez comment here in a second. Pastor Remke, the Glenn Beck rally was this big gathering, for those who don't know, in Washington, D.C. a couple weekends ago. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were there. It was led by Glenn Beck, radio and television talk show host, and he was openly calling for people of all faiths, he repeated this many times, to gather together, to pray together, and to kind of lay aside their differences. in order to restore honor to America. Is it a confusion of the two kingdoms?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't establish a civil religion that is based upon, that it finds itself in the comfort of Christ's word and sacraments. It will only find comfort as long as the nation which established it is doing well. It will only find comfort as long as that nation is doing what they want it to be doing. And so all those people who say, let's put aside our differences, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, even the non-Christian religions, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, let's put aside our differences and pray that our country would be a better place. You might as well be talking. You are. You're talking to yourself. What's the point of that? That's not God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done. And we cannot ever give that up as his church. If we do, we are no longer called his church, and on that last day, those who have given him up will say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. And what will his answer be? Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of unrighteousness. Christ is only interested in giving us his word and sacraments. He's not interested in establishing this nation or any other nation as heaven on earth.
Pastor Ramirez, your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think that the Glenn Beck rally is just the classic, logical, and frankly the disgusting end result of civil religion and conflating America with God's kingdom. And so here you have it. You have all of these people from different faiths praying together as if it didn't matter. I mean, this is just pure unionism. And the question we've got to ask is, where's Jesus in all of this? Because if a Mormon who denies the Trinity, who is not a Christian, is leading this whole rally, then Jesus isn't the exclusive king of the kingdom that they are trying to build. Jesus is necessary. He's not an option. He's not one among many. And his kingdom and his rule, God's word demands that all other kings be excluded.
Here's a comment from Ernest on Facebook. He says this, quoting Psalm 110, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet." In what ways, here's his question, in what ways is this verse related to the subject, and how is it manifest in the world today? Pastor Remke.
That's a tough one. I don't know if it's really a tough one or I'm just was caught off guard there, but I would say this is maybe pointing ahead to the kingdom of glory. Now, in the church, in the world, we're living in the kingdom of grace, that is, around God's word and sacraments, the means of grace. But we confess that Christ will return. And when he returns, certainly a footstool would be a great upgrade for his enemies when he returns. And he's not returning, though, to establish an earthly kingdom, but to establish his eternal kingdom, that is a new heavens and a new earth, to establish that eternal kingdom that isn't, like some people say, for 1,000 years or whatever. It's not based upon what real estate you have in Israel or America or wherever else. It's that eternal kingdom in which all things are done.
I think some good background to this whole question is in the second chapter of Daniel. And in the second chapter of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has this rather disturbing dream of a huge and mighty image made out of many different metals and other materials. And at the very end, a stone that was cut out by no human hand strikes the image on its feet and breaks the image into pieces. And Nebuchadnezzar is obviously disturbed by this dream, and Daniel interprets it for him. And he goes through all of the different kingdoms that this image represents. But at the end, he says this, and I believe this very much connects with the New Testament when Jesus and John the Baptist and the Gospel writers are talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And Daniel says this in 2:44, "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. We're not talking about America here. We're not talking about a new world order. We're not talking about a Christian theocracy. What we're talking about is the church. And the distinction that Pastor Remke keeps talking about is a very helpful one between the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of grace, the church of Jesus Christ, is not going to physically destroy these other kingdoms. But rather, Jesus in glory is going to come and finally end all of this left-hand stuff. Because he's going to rule directly.
Okay. This one comes from Steve via Facebook. He says, what do we say to pietists who devoutly believe that God's kingdom is only invisible and internal instead of his rightful rule over everything visible and invisible? I think one of the things that I find disturbing about this notion of, you know, God's kingdom is only within the heart is that it might, in fact, even exclude the external word of God and the sacraments. Your thoughts there, Pastor Remke?
It does exclude the word and sacraments. And the reason people tend to gravitate towards this idea in all churches, in all ages, people tend to gravitate towards this idea is because we are by nature sinful and unclean. We want to be like God, like the temptation in the garden. Serpent says, you'll be like God, your eyes will be open. We want that. That's what our sinful nature desires. So if we can take God's kingdom and make it about ourselves and put it in our hearts, apart from anyone else, that sets up as little gods. We're little gods over everyone else. We then have the authority, we think, in our sinful minds, to judge whether or not this one has the kingdom of God in his or her heart, or that one is really a Christian. God is not interested in setting up little dictators. God is interested in setting up his kingdom, which is not about our hearts. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, again, giving us what we need, the sure and certain knowledge that his kingdom is established by his work, by his word, by his sacraments. There we can stand on solid ground. You try to put it in your heart, it's going to be all mushy. You'll fall over a million times.
So it remains objective. Even though we participate and are citizens of this kingdom, the kingdom's existence, the kingdom's coming here in time and in eternity always remains something outside of us.
Absolutely. I mean, well, it remains something outside of us, but it is given to us. Again, I think Luther makes another point here. God's kingdom is like a golden coin. It's still a golden coin if it's in our pocket. It's a golden coin if it's in our hand. It's a golden coin if it's in the earth. That golden coin benefits us if it's in our pocket. It benefits us in our hand. It does no benefit to us if it's in the earth, but it is what it is, regardless of how we look at it. And so that's why we need to pray daily, not that his kingdom would come, it's already come, but that it would come to us, that his grace, the forgiveness that he gives in his son Jesus Christ, would come to us, not the other way around, that we would come to him, but he comes to us.
This is from Derek. He says, when I read Luther on this petition, what strikes me the most is that he turned it back to Christ's coming in his historical incarnation, almost in a way that would make you believe that Luther himself saw some kind of earthly kingdom coming. Of course, as I read on, it became clear that this was not what Luther was talking about. But this is the question that was raised in my mind. Jesus taught his disciples that this was indeed a spiritual kingdom, but inevitable, as the church grows and people come into it, it becomes more visible by nature. So is there any sense that in this petition, we are asking him to be among and bless our Christian community on earth and sustain it until he comes again? Thanks, says Derek. He loves the show. Pastor Ramirez, you've got about a minute to respond to that.
Well, that's a question that might take a little bit longer, but I'll try and give a short answer. And that would be, in one sense, sure, it's natural. That is, the church goes on in history and it gains in earthly power and prestige. It tends to succumb to the temptation of trying to act like an earthly power. However, on the other hand, what the question also asked was whether there are these blessings, these earthly blessings. And I would say yes. I think you see in the scriptures where people who were not part of Israel, but who helped the children of Israel or helped Abraham, or who were respectful to the Lord of hosts, they were blessed.
Well, when we come back, we've got 10 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable. We'll talk about what it looks like when God's kingdom is coming among us right after this. My old t-shirt. Somebody find me a preacher. Somebody find me a preacher. Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor David Ramirez of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois, here in the studio. And on the phone, Pastor Jim Remke, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan, giving away a one copy of the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions that is always the basis for our conversations with our pastor's roundtables. It's the 16th century Lutheran Reformational documents in a reader's edition, a great resource. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, issuesetc.org, Listen on Demand. What does it look like, Pastor Remke, when God's kingdom... We said before the break that it's not entirely invisible, that it's objective. And then, of course, a la Derek's question, as the church grows, there's a visible aspect to it that should not be mistaken with the kingdom of God. But what does it look like? What should I look for as a Christian to see those objective ways by which I know God is extending his kingdom and bringing his kingdom among us today?
Again, I feel like I've just saying the same thing over and over again, but you can't say it too much. You look for his word. You look for his sacrament. You look, are people being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? His kingdom's there. Are people eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins? His kingdom is there. Are people being forgiven their sins in absolution? His kingdom is there. Is his word being preached rightly with the law in its sternness and the gospel in its sweetness? His kingdom is there. So, again, it seems like the easiest thing in the world, but it's not. It's difficult, and that's how everything is in Christ's church. It seems so simple, and yet we get it so very wrong when we try to do it ourselves.
You understand, Jim, that there are a lot of people in the world who would find what you just said ludicrous. That there's nothing spectacular about or out of the ordinary about any of those things as we look in on them with purely human eyes. And there are many in the church who would also disagree with you. They would say that a church that you just described is perhaps, if not completely out of date, certainly, what shall we say, certainly on the verge of spiritual death.
They're right. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. It's the wisdom of God, which makes no sense to us. But we look what happens when we try to impart our wisdom to the church. You see very clearly what's the first thing that goes when man starts to put his wisdom in place of God's wisdom when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to the church. The first thing that goes, Christ and his cross, Christ and salvation in him alone. God in his kingdom of grace disappears, and it's replaced by a congregation of dictators who each are trying to do their part for the kingdom of God, when in reality, the only thing they want to grow is their own kingdom, their own fame, their own notoriety. They want to be the big church on the block. They want to be the church that gets noticed. Take example, this church in Florida that wants to burn the Qurans on September 11th. Do they have anything about the kingdom of grace there? They're trying to bring about God's kingdom through their own works, through their own wisdom, through their own outrageousness, and it will never be found in those things.
Kelly has a question, Pastor Ramirez. She says, Luther's explanation of the kingdom sounds so simple. Today it is often viewed in terms of social justice, the triumph and rule of Christendom, or a radical lifestyle meant to emulate the Acts 2 church. Were there people in Luther's day, the Catholic Church or more radical reformers, who also held to a mistaken idea of God's kingdom, which Luther meant to correct by his explanation of this petition?
Sure. I think that it's pretty obvious that Luther did not agree with the Pope, that he not only had power over the church, but also the Pope was claiming that he had power over secular governments in the kingdom of the left, and Luther rejected both of those things. Also, a lot of the radical reformers did try and totally separate themselves from the world. However, I think we should be careful not to go too far the other way. We shouldn't look like the world. We should look different. That doesn't mean we need to all go live in a compound or some commune, but we should look different. And a Christian who is following God's word is going to be hated by the world. If you're not being persecuted, maybe not being burned at the stake, but if you're not being confronted because of your faith, chances are you might not be actually following the word of God. Jesus promises persecution.
One of the things that Luther says when he writes in his large catechism about Thy Kingdom Come, he draws an analogy. I'd like your thoughts on this as our time winds down, Pastor Remke. He says it's like when the richest and most mighty emperor would tell a poor beggar to ask whatever he might desire. The emperor's ready to give great royal presents, but the fool would only beg for a dish of gruel. That man would be rightly considered a rogue and a scoundrel who treated the command of his imperial majesty like a joke and a game, and was not worthy of coming into his presence. In the same way, it is a great shame and dishonor to God if we, to whom he offers and pledges so many inexpressible treasures, despise the treasures or do not have the confidence to receive them, but hardly dare to pray for a piece of bread. What is Luther saying there by way of warning on this petition?
Well, Luther's saying here, you want to go before the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the one who holds the world in his hands. You want to go before him and receive his gracious invitation to give you his kingdom, to give you his own son, to give you that body and blood that atones for all your sins. You want to go before him and say, please, sir, can I have some more wells dug over here? Could I have some more of my own works? Could you just scrape off the bottom of the barrel? Now, the thing is, we don't see it that way. When we go as this rogue, as Luther says, asking for a dish of gruel, we think we're asking for the best thing. Because if we don't know Christ, if we don't know him who has revealed himself to us in Holy Scripture, we have no idea what he is capable and willing to give to us. we think that our best is as good as it gets, when in reality, God's kingdom is so much more. Luther also says earlier in the Large Catechism, we pray for an eternal, inestimable treasure and everything that God himself possesses. This is far too great for any human heart to think about desiring, if God had not himself commanded us to pray for the same. So we would never think of this on our own. This is why, as we've talked about, our own ideas of what God's kingdom are seem so foolish, only because we won't go to God as he's revealed himself in these seemingly foolish things of word and sacrament, and thus we'll keep asking for the gruel of our own good works and our own wisdom.
Pastor Ramirez, you get the final word. When Jesus instructs us to pray, "Thy kingdom come," he is also certainly has in view his coming in glory, as we've talked about before. What awaits us when Christ comes in power and glory and finally ushers in a kingdom that excludes all other kingdoms and that is now a kingdom of pure grace and pure forgiveness and pure mercy? What awaits us? With about a minute here, Pastor Ramirez.
Sure. What awaits us is pure goodness. That when we say, "Thy kingdom come," we need to remember that this is a serious plea for not just let your word rule in me now by word and sacrament, but also may you come back, Lord Jesus, that we pray for the Lord's return when we say, "Thy kingdom come," because we're saying, "Let your kingdom come," which means let your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come. And that means the end of the world, and it means return and end our misery, fulfill your promise to your church that you would return, and we are asking Jesus to come back and wipe away every tear so that we may see him face to face.
Pastor David Ramirez is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. It's a great pleasure. Thank you for coming all the way out here to the studio.
Sure, no problem. My pleasure.
Pastor Jim Remke is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a great honor.
Let's see, the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions today. Difficult decision to make. I could pick almost anybody who had a question or a comment, but I will go with David in Pittsburgh, who gave us a call. If you call us back, 877-623-MY-IE, and give Craig your mailing address, we will send out a copy of the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to you. Thanks to everybody who had something to contribute to our conversation on Thy Kingdom Come. In the second hour of the program on this Wednesday afternoon, the 9th of September, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us for part 4 of our 5-part daily series on the Apostles' Creed. We'll be talking about Jesus' descent into hell, his resurrection, his ascension, and something we just touched on a minute ago, his return for judgment. That's hour 2 of Issues, etc. Jesus instructs us and commands us to pray for everything God has, to ask in this petition that God would give us his very rule and kingdom to be our own. And we can pray this so boldly. I mean, think about it. Praying a prayer where you say, "God, I want everything you have. I want you to give it to me." And Jesus commands us to pray this way, as though we were going to a king and saying, "Great king, I want your whole kingdom. That's what I want." And God gives it to us. He gives it to us completely and freely because the King, Jesus Christ, has given himself for us completely and freely at the cross. We are not only citizens in this kingdom, we are and will be recipients of this kingdom for Christ's sake. When we come back, hour 2 of Issues, etc. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.